Ricardo?
Wuhan virus continues to spread in China and around the world. It's Monday, January 27th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the latest on President Trump's impeachment trial. Indonesia struggles to attract business. Andrew Yang finds video followers. Art to remember pets. It's all on today's VOA Asia. We will get to the Wuhan virus story in just a moment, but first, Kobe Bryant has died in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California, at the age of 41. Bryant was traveling with at least three other people in his private helicopter when it went down. A fire broke out. Emergency personnel responded, but no one on board survived. Five people are confirmed dead. Bryant is widely considered one of the greatest NBA players of all time and most known athletes around the world, especially in Asia, making 18 All-Star teams during his 20-year career with the Lakers. He was a first-round pick in the 1996 draft, winning five NBA championships, two NBA Finals MVPs, and was the league MVP in 2008. He was on 15 All-NBA teams, 12 All-Defensive teams, and led the league in scoring for two seasons. He ranks fourth in the NBA for all-time regular season scoring and all-time postseason scoring, and he also was a part of several U.S. Olympics appearances. The Los Angeles Lakers famously retired both of Kobe's jerseys, number 8 and number 24, the only player in team history to receive that honor. Just 2 years ago, Bryant collected another honor, the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film, Dear Basketball.
I feel better than winning a championship, to be honest with you.
The animated short film was based on a poem he wrote after ending his 20-year career on the court in 2016.
What are you going to do when you retire? And I'd say, well, I want to be a writer. I want to be a storyteller. And I got a lot of, yeah, that's cute. That's cute. You'll be depressed when your career is over and you'll come back to play, you know. And I got that a lot. And so to be here right now and to have like a sense of validation is, dude, this is crazy, man.
Kobe Bryant said the honor put him out of his comfort zone as he shared the award with Disney animator Glenn Keane. But it was at home where he found his inspiration.
My little 11-year-old Gianna goes, well, Dad, you always tell us to go after our dreams, so man up.
Film, writing, and speech are all powerful tools to convey ideas and feelings. Kobe Bryant says they are for everyone to use.
Whether you're a professional athlete or not, whether you're an actor or not, you still have the ability to speak up for what it is that you believe in. And as well as people have the right to criticize that. I mean, this is a democracy that we live in. That's what makes America beautiful.
Again, former NBA superstar Kobe Bryant has died in a helicopter crash in California. The 41-year-old Bryant was traveling with at least three other people in his private helicopter when it went down. You can read more on voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. United States to evacuate limited number of Americans from Wuhan. Myanmar military faces added international scrutiny. A survey says Vietnam has one of the highest rates of consumer savings. UNHCR welcomes Human Rights Committee's ruling on climate refugee. Kim Jong-un, a great golfer, according to Trump in 2018. You can read and watch more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The United States has five confirmed cases of the new virus from China, all of whom traveled to the city that is the center of the outbreak, according to health officials. Two new cases were reported Sunday, one in Los Angeles County in California and the other in Maricopa County, Arizona. The others were a patient in Orange County, California, who was in isolation at a hospital and in good condition, a man in his 30s in Washington State, and a woman in her 60s from Chicago. Dozens of people have died from the virus in China, which has issued massive travel bans in hard-hit sections of that country to try to stem the spread of the virus. The U.S. consulate in Wuhan announced Sunday it would evacuate its personnel and some private citizens aboard a charter flight. The U.S. embassy in Beijing wrote Sunday the Department of State is making arrangements to relocate its personnel stationed at the U.S. consulate general in Wuhan to the United States. An American citizen teaching at a university in Wuhan, who asked that her name not be used for fear of Chinese retribution, told VOA's Mandarin service that neither the consulate nor the U.S. embassy in Beijing has yet contacted most American citizens in the city.
I called the embassy because the initial reports were saying they will evacuate us on today, on Sunday, right?
Right.
So I called the embassy last night and I spoke with an operator and she told me that is false. There is no charter flight today. Now the reports are saying there will definitely be a charter flight on Tuesday. I'm still doubtful. And anyway, like what they've said to us is that if there is a plane, if you want a chance to possibly be on the plane, you need to by yourself email American Citizen Services. They are not reaching out to us. Maybe they have reached out to a few privileged individuals, but on the whole, they are not reaching out to average American citizens. We have received almost no support and no help. And the consulate staff are the ones who are being prioritized on any medical evacuation. So if there is a chartered flight, the priority is the consular staff and their families, the diplomats, and any remaining seats, the current information that I've seen, any remaining seats would go to quote-unquote vulnerable people, but they've told us that we need to register to be added to a list to maybe have a chance to leave, and then also we are required to pay for the costs of the flight. My actual current feeling is that, first of all, there are thousands of us Americans in Wuhan. A 747 seats like 250 people. They're not going to take everyone out. Even if every single person wanted to leave, they would not take all of us. So that's one. And two, I have a cat here and there's no one who can take care of him. So I'm not going to leave him to starve to death in my apartment. Everyone keeps telling me, that's insane. Save your life. Get out. I'm not going to leave my best friend in the whole world to starve to death alone in an apartment. It's horrifying. So, and I don't think I can go anyway.
How stressful is it? Is everything? How's your mental state right now?
Really not good.
Really not.
I've never experienced anything like this. This is the craziest experience I've ever lived through in my entire life. I wish it weren't happening, and it's a nightmare.
An American citizen teaching at a university in Wuhan who asked that her name not be used for fear of Chinese retribution, speaking with VOA's Mandarin service. The disease has killed 56 people and sickened almost 2,000 around the world and has spread to about 15 countries, including France, Canada, and the United States. The World Health Organization said Thursday the potentially deadly virus has not yet developed into a worldwide health emergency. Happening now in Asia, Hong Kong's popular amusement parks, Disneyland and Ocean Park, are closed from January 26th to help prevent the spread of a deadly coronavirus that broke out in the Chinese city of Wuhan. Hotels inside Hong Kong Disneyland, however, are reportedly still open and operating normally. You can stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The first week of the U.S. Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump came to a close Saturday as the president's lawyers began their defense, arguing he had done nothing wrong in his dealings with Ukraine. Trump's team has up to 3 days to argue before the 100 senators weighing whether Trump's actions merit his removal from office. VOA's congressional correspondent Cindy Sain has more in this report written by Catherine Gibson.
In a short day of opening arguments, described as a preview of a full defense next week, White House counsel attacked from multiple fronts. First, calling the case for impeachment baseless.
The Democrats accused the president of leveraging security assistance to supposedly force President Zelensky to announce investigations. But how can that possibly be when the Ukrainians were not even aware that the security assistance was paused? There can't be a threat without the person knowing he's being threatened. There can't be a quid pro quo without the quo.
While arguing, the president has broad decision-making powers.
Disagreeing with the president's decision on foreign policy matters or whose advice he's going to take is in no way an impeachable offense.
Trump's lawyers also criticized the impeachment managers for guessing about the president's motives.
I'll call you when you've done what I asked. This is, in sum and character, what the president was trying to communicate.
That's fake. That's not the real call. That's not the evidence here. That's not the transcript.
Democrats say that problem can easily be solved by the firsthand testimony that Republicans so far have denied.
My strong impression from the first 2 hours is that the case for witnesses and documents has gotten even stronger.
Democrats seeking the testimony of several former and current administration officials, including Ambassador John Bolton and acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, who told reporters last year the aid was tied to the president's demands.
If this was really about Donald Trump fighting corruption, why did they hide it from Congress? Why didn't they tell Congress and the American people what they were doing? And the reason they didn't tell the American people what they were doing is because it was a corrupt shakedown to get Ukraine to help them cheat in the election.
Just 2 hours of Trump's defense appeared to have more effect on Republicans than days of Democrats' arguments.
We've had 23 hours of hearing nothing but snippets and one point of view. In this 2 hours, I think they made more headway than the entirety of what they laid on us with mountains of information, minutia, and just not getting to the point.
The trial is set to resume Monday with a continuation of the president's defense. This is Cindy Sain for Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Coming up, trying to profit from a trade war. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, an explosive eruption of the Philippines' Restivtal volcano no longer appears imminent, according to authorities Sunday, as they lifted most of a mass evacuation order but warned residents to remain ready to flee. Warning signs like earthquakes have been steadily waning since the Taal burst to life 2 weeks ago. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, Southeast Asia has been a major winner in the U.S.-China trade war. The region has seen a wave of new factories as manufacturers move out of China to avoid U.S. tariffs. But Southeast Asia's biggest economy, Indonesia, has struggled to attract new investment. That's in part because of the country's sprawling bureaucracy, as VOA's Bill Gallo explains.
Pegatron, one of Apple's biggest suppliers, is setting up shop here in Indonesia. It's part of the company's attempt to shield itself from U.S. tariffs on China. The problem is, it's not happening very often.
Everyone know Vietnam today is the is the place that most of the manufacturing go. Of course, that is a concern. If we are not as competitive as other countries, of course we are concerned.
A recent World Bank report said out of 33 companies that are shifting production from China, 23 are going to Vietnam. None are going to Indonesia. One of the big reasons, it's difficult to start a business here. Sometimes it takes years just to get the business permit. Much longer than authoritarian, but often very efficient countries like Vietnam.
Like Vietnam, they were more easier compared to other area region, because they are, government so strong. But for Indonesia, we are in the process of democracy.
Edi Irawadi, until recently, was a top official in Indonesia's free trade zone of Batam. He says a lot has changed since Indonesia restored multi-party democracy in 1998.
I joined the government in 1983, right? It's easy for me to make a policy because I don't have to go to the parliament. I don't have to ask the people whether they agree or disagree with my policy. And then the president just signed.
During the three-decade rule of Indonesia's dictator, Suharto, the economy was centrally planned. But when he stepped down following mass protests in 1998, authority was scattered across multiple layers of government. And in a massive country like Indonesia, those parts don't always work together. Another problem is corruption, which, of course, is also a problem in other countries. But in Indonesia, there's now a lot more potential people to pay off, says analyst Bima Yudhistira.
There's some kind of the high-cost economy because you need to bribe not only some people in the central government, but also people in the local government. And it's creating like an inefficiency in terms of investment.
Indonesia's new government is trying to address the problem. They're requiring fewer permits and making them easier to complete. And there are other bright spots.
Produk garment, produk sepatu, produk karet.
Garments, shoes, rubber tires, and perhaps home appliances and furniture. For the products that Indonesia has already produced well, the demand is increasing, particularly from the U.S.
Memproduksikan dengan cukup baik dan kompetitif.
But with the U.S. and China now trying to wind down their trade war, some in Indonesia are concerned the country has already missed out on many of the opportunities. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Jakarta.
This news from VOA Asia. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's aunt made her first public appearance in about 6 years, according to state media Sunday, quelling years of rumors that she was purged or executed by her nephew after helping him inherit power from his father. Visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, Andrew Yang is one of the few Asian American presidential candidates in U.S. history. However, the entrepreneur is not polling well. He's still in the race thanks to a unique style and really devoted followers. VOA Suli Yi caught up with two former Trump voters who are now a part of the Yang Gang. VOA's Peggy Chang narrates her report.
In 2016, Russell Peterson and his wife Elisa voted for Donald Trump, but since then have become disillusioned with the president.
Donald Trump said that he had a vision for the country and he was talking about all the problems that we were having, but he was putting the completely wrong answers.
Their disappointment with President Trump is unusual as most Republicans are still firmly in his camp as the 2020 election gets closer. But these two have found a new candidate, Andrew Yang.
We heard him probably last June or a little bit before. And I looked at my wife and I said, does he make as much sense to you as he does to me? And she said, yep.
The thing that got them interested in Yang is his signature policy, the Freedom Dividend, which guarantees all Americans a basic income of $1,000 a month. And the more research they did, the more sense it made to them.
didn't know that. I never heard of universal basic income at all. And then when we started looking into it, it's been this idea that's been around for a long time.
Well, I know the first time you heard that, it sounded like a gimmick, too good to be true, would never happen. But this is not my idea, and it's not a new idea. Thomas Paine was for it at the founding of the country. He called it the citizen's dividend for all Americans.
But Yang is only polling at about 3%, not high enough to make the most recent debate. So this team is out on the road trying to drum up support for their candidate.
We know that the Yang gang is going to come out and vote in the primaries.
In mass.
Every single one of us.
They see Yang's plan as being one of the only real ways most of the candidates are trying to help people.
We call it the broke folk vote. And we see a policy like the freedom dividend. And we see how that could help so many families. Because most everybody I know is struggling paycheck to paycheck.
78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, according to the online employment company Career Builder. And for the Petersons, Yang's plan would make a big difference in their lives.
Well, the first month, I've already pledged to donate to a charity. So after that, it's going to go towards bills, and we can probably afford to eat organic and to eat probably less meat.
Yang is a huge underdog at this point in the race. But for these two former Trump supporters, he's the only candidate with huge ideas. Su Li Yi for VOA News, Peggy Chang narrates.
For many people, their pet is part of their family, and of course, when they pass away, it's very difficult. Maxim Moskalkov found an artist who can help.
There is nothing unusual about Erica Eric's daughter's job. She is an artist and paints portraits. But Erica's daughter isn't painting portraits of the family patriarchs, but rather deceased pets. Her work, she says, helps owners survive the loss of their loved, forlorn friends.
Because I'm painting a spirit, so to say, a personality, a character, a real living thing that has either passed away or is still living, I always start with the eyes because it's very important to get those eyes right. They're the window to the soul.
Erica Eric's daughter came to the U.S. from Sweden and is a third-generation artist. But even with her artistic pedigree art, Erica's spark to painting came unexpectedly. One day she saw a stray cat on her porch. The cat was so pretty, Erica's daughter decided to paint her. Her friends loved the portrait, told their friends and relatives about her talent, and the word spread.
It's a very special connection that I have with my customers because, you know, they lost something that they've loved so dearly and deeply, and either their animal is still with them or it has recently passed away. So they come to me usually through the website and then connect with me through email. And that's where their journey starts. That's where their experience starts. Where we talk about their animal, you know, ask simple questions like, what's their breed? What's your favorite story? And how did you guys meet?
Chris Botnick, one of Erica's daughter's customers, has had pets all his life. But his dog Canela is very special to him. He found a stray dog in Mexico and brought it home to the U.S. But taming the frightened animal and teaching it to accept love and care was not easy.
And I brought her into I had a one-bedroom apartment there. And I bring her in, and she sat there in the den, and she looked at me, and she just went, and I thought I'm going to go to sleep, and she's going to rip my throat out. Like, she would not let me anywhere near her. And she had such anxiety, and it took me 8 months to, like, break her.
To this day, Botnick has a print of Canela's paw, as well as her favorite toy that his other pets aren't allowed to play with. Now he also has Canela's portrait, thanks to Erica's daughter. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Reston, Virginia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. We thank everyone who's been listening via VOA Asia Facebook and on many great radio stations throughout Asia. We'd also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Kelvin Fowler, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a nice day ahead.